Blog Talk Radio.
I don't.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Torah, sponsored by Beth Shalom Mashiach, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. And I am your hostess, Eliana Batya, back to go through more Wisdom of Torah. We're still in the Psalm series, and we are in Psalm 22, actually. Still going through that. And I wanted to just welcome everyone to the program this morning. Today is Monday, and we are at September 10th, 2012. So we are still going through our series of Psalms, and it's been a little slow going. I think I gave a little bit more insight on my last broadcast of what's been going on in our world, which makes it a little bit, you know, tough to always do the broadcast right now. But I am going to be faithful to this calling. I feel called to do it, and I'm going to be faithful to that calling. So I wanted to welcome everybody again. And before we go, I'm going to open in prayer, and then I have a little poem I'm going to read. And I think this really reflects the heart of what is happening in the community, in our community as a Hebrew people, really waking up to the knowledge of who we are and who we have been historically and what is going on. What are these prophecies that are written in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26? And all throughout Scripture, there's a grain written that pertains to the Hebrew people, the people of Scripture, the sons and daughters of Yaakov, particularly those that were taken through the transatlantic slave trade. And today, the world has a big giant masquerade going on, and the whole world is running after that. But there is a real people that the Scripture talks about, and it's not a people converted in the 700, AD. There's a people that go back far, far beyond the 700 AD, and that is the sons and daughters, the offspring of Jacob or Yaakov, who were prophesied to go through some hard times and be dispersed throughout all of the world. And that has actually happened. And we are called a hidden people in Psalms 83. So we are here discovering who we are. We are waking up. Actually, the Most High is waking us up. And in light of what we see in the current spiritual movement of the world, it seems that we are running counter grain to what is going on in the world. And it's true, because the Most High has a plan for His people. He has a plan for the earth. He has a plan of redemption for anyone who would want to dislodge themselves from this world system and come into the kingdom of the Most High. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll begin. Most High, we just want to thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for this day and every day. We know that you are with us. You are in the midst of the affairs of our life and the decisions that we make and decisions that are made for and against us. There is no power in the universe that's greater than your power. But on the earth, we experience calamity and trouble. But we know that you're faithful to change our circumstance and situation as we avail ourselves to you to become your people fully, with the right heart, with the right mind, with the right understanding, with the right obedience. So this is where we are today, Father, and you know that. And you are with us, and you will not forsake us, and you are leading us back. And for this, I say thank you, and I praise your holy name. And I thank you for the wonderful working of your plan for your people, and for all those that will sojourn with us, and for those that will come out of this world system into your marvelous, wonderful kingdom. And we give you praise today in Yahushua's precious, wonderful, magnificent name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Well, that was a small prayer with a little bit of revelation into what's going on. If you've never listened to me before, or if you've never understood who you were as a Hebrew person, I just want to welcome you. I want to say shalom. And for those that are listening via archives, I want to welcome you as well. If you're in the chat room this morning, I may not be able to see you because I know my chat, it's not opening again. I don't know. There's something going on with the Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes the chat room opens up, sometimes it does not. Not quite sure, you know, what's going on with all of that. But I won't be able to see you, but if you're in the chat room, good morning, shalom. You're welcome. Just thankful that you're there. And this morning, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-3467. If you call in and press the number 1, you'll come in queue, and I can see that you're there. You're welcome to call in at any point, and I will stop what I'm doing and bring you forward so that you can speak. All right. Well, if you don't want to call in, also that's fine. I know a lot of people just like to listen, but I do want to let you know that this is an interactive program. You are welcome to call in. Well, I wanted to start, before we get started, I wanted to start with a little reading. I'm currently reading a book by Glenn Clark. The book is about the life story of Dr. George Washington Carver. And the book is entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers. But in the very beginning of the book, I want to read the poem of the bridge builder, because this is what's happening. I believe this poem sums up very clearly what's going on right now in our community. We're still, even in the media, is not talking about what the Hebrews are doing. They're consistently, systematically ignoring and denying us. But that's okay, because it's not really for them to promote us and to acknowledge who we are. The Most High has done this most profoundly. He's doing it secretly. In many cases, he's speaking directly to his children. People are having an understanding that things are not as they once thought they were, and they're waking up. And that is a term that is most commonly used in our community, as we have an open-eyed revelation of who we are as a people, which means that the scriptures and everything written about us that was written about the Hebrew people pertains to us, literally. Now, I'll qualify that statement, too. Anyway, let me go ahead. This is the bridge builder. I thought this was so profound when I started reading this book, and I thought of it in the context of putting it on this broadcast. It says, an old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray. Now, it's talking about his life's journey, so the evening is talking about his elder years. And the gray, of course, you know, that means that he has passed in age. To a chasm vast and deep and wide, the old man crossed in the twilight dim. the sullen stream, had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a pilgrim near, "you are wasting your strength building here. Your journey will end at the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at evening tide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I have come," he said, "there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-headed youth, may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him." Very powerful and very profound. What this bridge builder is talking about is this. The elderly go on ahead of us in wisdom. And what they have learned through life's journey, they can share with us. They can give us knowledge, insight, understanding of things deeper and wider than our understanding, things that are destructive, things that are pleasant and prosperous. Our elders can teach us these lessons. And as good students, we must learn to listen. We must learn to hear in order for us to cross the chasm of life and come to the other side. So I thought that was very appropriate today because as a people, we have to understand our condition is not like everyone's, and we see this, but there is a deep frustration. I am in a kind of a new venture, and I'm doing very well in it, actually. I'm starting to do quite well. And if the venture, I'll tell you, is Legal Shield. And Legal Shield is, if you've never heard of Legal Shield, it is a multi-level marketing company. But the benefits, it's a member benefit company in that you take a membership with the company and it puts you in touch with a provider law firm. And this law firm has connections across the United States, so anyone can join. The membership is very reasonable in many cases, depending on your state. I won't call out any numbers because if you're listening to me across the U.S., the price may vary slightly. But the benefits are fixed in that you have 24-hour access to attorneys for any situation. Now, I'll give you a very, very brief. There is a gentleman who is dating a woman who is not a Hebrew necessarily, or she might be one of the tribes from another nationality group. However, he has a common name that many, many current modern Hebrews here in the West share. It's a very common name, like John Smith or something, you know. Anyway, under this common name, if you pull up police records or criminal records, you're going to find thousands and thousands of Hebrew males with this same common root name. And all of them have a record. It's amazing. All of these thousands and thousands of men with this same common name that are Hebrew males have been incarcerated for various types of crime. Now, there are several that are almost the same identical age as this particular gentleman. He's dating a woman of another nationality, and they're both over 40. But the mother, the female he's dating, was raising her son's children. because her son himself has been incarcerated. Now, the rest of her children, despising this Hebrew male, went on the internet, pulled his name up, and found thousands and thousands of Hebrews sharing the same name. And they called the police and said that this particular male who's dating their mother had violated the children, which is not true. And because he shares a common name, and unfortunately this gentleman has been incarcerated and is on parole, the police came and took him to jail. None of the allegations are true, but he's in a condition. This is the condition of our people in the diaspora. This is the condition of our males and females many times. Without even getting justice, he's carted away. Well, she had taken the legal shield, not from me, but from a friend, but he had not. And I was actually at the meeting where they were trying to get him to take the legal shield. He did not. Had he taken the legal shield, he could have called while the police were in the home trying to arrest him, because you get one phone call. He could have called the provider law firm, told them that, you know, this is a, he has, shares a common name with many, many people. Yes, he has his own particular situation of why he was incarcerated. However, the provider law firm would have stepped in, and he would not have had to go to jail. So this is the benefit of this plan, this legal shield. You can call it any time, 24 hours a day, for any reason, traffic tickets, whatever, whatever. Any little thing that you think is small, or you know, that you think that you need this assistance for, they will work with you. So anyway, I'm in a new, like I said, a new venture, and the person over me is also Hebrew, male, very successful. But when I went back to the story, I'm going back to the poem about the chasm and the older man sharing. The gentleman that's over me, or a couple steps over me, is Hebrew. And his philosophy for being successful is what he calls mix and match, meaning we need to have some people from Edom and we need to have people from other nationalities in order to be successful, because he truly believes that the Hebrew people are not savvy enough to understand the benefit of this particular business and to partake of it. And I had to correct him and say, you know, that is where we always are with each other. We all assume that neither of us or the next person is not capable of understanding or attaining to a standard that Edom has set, our captors have set in their business dealings or in their standard of living. We assume that we sometimes assume that we are the only ones who get it, who understand it. So I had to inform him that, you know, the Hebrew people, who we are, but of course I didn't call us Hebrew people with him, because he has no understanding yet that he's a Hebrew. He's a Christian man. He loves God, you know, but he doesn't understand who he is right now. So I just went back and said, listen, as a people, we are very diverse. We are very unique. We live around the world. We are in every station of life, in every condition. We are a broad-based people. We don't give ourselves enough credit for our intelligence. We are very intelligent people. We are inventors, just like this George Washington Carver. Many, 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 many of us can tell stories of our own fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers inventing things that they never patented for fear that Edom would steal the ideas. And we know that that's what happened. Edom steals our ideas. The Edomites steal what we invent, and they prosper, and they never repay us. They never repay us. They're thieves, and they're murderers. So we already know this. So a lot of us have inventions in our family. We're a very prominent people. The reason why we're in the condition we're in is because of our disobedience. That is why we are where we are, but it's not a permanent condition for us forever ad infinitum. It's not that way. The Most High has already promised. He's already at work. getting ready to bring us together under one mindset and to deliver us and take us out of all the lands of our captivities. We're going to be exiting these European countries. We're going to be exiting these countries from around the world. Even in our current condition, we think we're poor, but the Most High says we are rich. We are rich. We don't have the physical wealth that they have stolen from us, but we are rich. When you're born into wealth, it doesn't matter the path that you choose. At some point, you can claim your inheritance and come back into your status. Well, we are a royal priesthood unto the Most High. We have status, we have wealth, we have clout in front of the Most High, which is the most important place to have it. It's the most important condition in life, is to know that the Most High is with you, and not only that, that you're chosen of the Most High Yah, not of Lucifer. We're not the chosen of Lucifer. We're the chosen of the Most High Yah. He has given us his Ruach. He has poured it upon us. Now, if you read this book, as a matter of fact, before I get into the Tehillim, I'm just going to read just the first part of this book for you to understand what I'm talking about how the Most High is with his people. This book, it says here in the foreword, and I'm going to read it the way they say it, but actually I'm going to change the word. They use the word Negro, but I'm going to use the word Hebrew to describe our people, because that's who we really are. We're not the byword that they are calling us or have called us. But I'm just going to read the first part just a little bit to give you an understanding, because the person that's writing this is talking about something he received from being in the presence of George Washington Carver that he had never, ever experienced before. And this usually happens in our presence as Hebrews, because the Ruach dwells deep within us, not like any other people on the face of the earth. Whenever people encounter Hebrew peoples who are truly connected to the Most High, it's a very spiritual and emotional moment for them, because they've never understood or reached the level that we are on, that we, many of us, live on constantly. Even if we're not with the Most High, many of us are very spiritual people. And that is very evident, because that's something that the Most High has done. But let me just read this forward a little bit for you. This is a very powerful book. I recommend, it's an easy read if you're a reader. It's a very short book. I recommend you go out and get it. If you haven't read it before, I recommend that you go and get it. The forward says, the world has been poorer, because there has not been available in book form an authentic biography of this greatest Hebrew of modern times, if not of all times. This little book does not pretend to meet this need completely, but it does perform one service which few stories of Dr. Carver up till now have attempted to perform. While it includes all the most important events of his outer life, it gives especial attention to interpreting the inner soul of the man and revealing the spiritual processes by which his remarkable discoveries were made possible. Among other things, it tells the secret of his power of talking to the flowers and letting the flowers talk to him. One of the most unique spiritual friendships of the world is the friendship existing between George Washington Carver and the author of this little book. Neither one ever undertakes a project of importance without taking the other one in spirit with him into his inner workshop. Everyone who reads this book and who catches the spirit is invited to become a member of their little spiritual family. The author's chief purpose in writing this book was that all who read it might share some of the strength and inspiration which he has obtained through his intimate friendship with the man who talks with the flowers. That's all I'm going to read on this book. The book is very good. If you go into the first part of it, there is a little section where I think, I did want to say, just wanted to give you just a little idea of how they were talking. Okay, I'll start here. All right, so of course the author is a European. He's an Edomite. He's talking to another European, and so the person wants to ask him, how did he come about, you know, earnestly seeking the Most High? And he says, from an old, now I will use their term because I think it just gives that power just for the emphasis of what I'm talking about. He says, from an old Negro in Alabama, was his instant reply. An old Negro, I exclaimed. It was the most amazing experience of my life, he continued. Have you ever heard of George Washington Carver of Tuskegee? One day he came to the town where I lived and gave an address on his discoveries of the peanut. I went to the lecture expecting to learn science and came away knowing more about prayer than I had ever learned in the theological school. And to cap the climax, when the old gentleman was leaving the hall, he turned to me, where I stood transfixed and inspired, and said, I want you to be one of my boys. That was the way it began. You must have felt honored by his selecting you out from the rest of this audience that way. No, drawled Jim, just the opposite. It came very nearly spoiling the lecture. My grandfathers were owners of slaves. I came naturally by a strong Southern prejudice against the Negro. For a nigger to assume the right of adopting me into his family, even his spiritual family, as in this case, was brazen effrontery to my pride. I recoiled from it. So I went home and tried to remove Dr. Carver entirely out of my mind. But try as I would, I could not erase the effect of the lecture. A few evenings later, when I seriously needed help, almost unconsciously, I found myself turning in thought to this simple old scientist who had found God in the hills and fields. And instantly, it seemed that his spirit filled that room, and his spirit was white, mind you, as white as any saints in heaven. A peace entered me and my problems fell away. Since then, I have found that merely by turning in thought to that dear old gentleman creates an atmosphere about me in which God can come very, very near to me. This is why God is as close to me as he is now. Now, if you hear that, if you understood the power of what I just read, here we're talking about Dr. Carver, born in the South in Tuskegee. And did you hear how the man was proud to say that his grandfathers were owners of slaves and that how he came naturally by a strong Southern prejudice against the Hebrew? This is what's happened to us, and this is what the Most High said would happen. He said, I will cause you, you know, I will call the nations to abhor you, to be, you know, put off by you, to despise you. When he said he came naturally by a prejudice, it was natural for him. It's natural for the whole world to despise the Hebrew right now. But do you understand that he could not find the Most High Yah until he had to acknowledge that Hebrew? He had to acknowledge the Hebrew, because the Most High put his spirit, his Ruach, upon us as a people. This is why we find favor wherever we are. Whenever the Most High uses us, those nations love us. They can't get away from us. They want us there. They want us in everything. They know that whenever we are the salt of the earth, as Yahushua said, we are the salt of the earth. We add flavor. We add spice. Our music has changed the face of the globe. Everything we do, we're mimicked. We are copied. Everything we do or say, whatever fashion or fad or hairstyle, whatever we do as a Hebrew people, we affect all of the nations. I was just watching a little piece last night where they're trying to encourage now Europeans to stop tanning because it's causing cancer and death. But in the commentary, they said every time they talk to these young women, they wish they had darker skin. We have it, and we are despised for it. And sometimes we despise each other for the deeper, the more melanin and the darker the skin. We despise each other when this is what they desire in order to live on the earth. If, in order for them to not get that cancer in their skin, their basal skin cells that will take them off the planet, out of the land of the living, they need the melanin that we have so natural. So we are very unique and wonderful people. The Most High Yah has given us something that if the nations would turn and do well, the Most High would accept them. They can dwell among us. They can sojourn among us. But they can't usurp themselves over us. Now, right now in the diaspora, that was part of the curse. Understood. We understand it. But now things are changing. The tide is changing. The tide is changing. They don't want to let go. Those that see it and know what it is, they're fighting tooth and nail. They're fighting. But in the beginning of time, in the beginning of the earth system, the Hebrew, well, not just the Hebrew, technically, but the people of the earth were dark. And those people ruled the world. Those people ruled the world. Sun was shining down. People didn't die of skin cancer. Tell me where in Scripture, tell me where can you find through the pages of any written historical text of the ancient cultures where they died of skin cancer? It did not exist. Because the Most High is clever. He put that deep, rich melanin down into the basal skin cells, down, deep down into the dermis of who we are in order to protect us. It's a protection. It's not to be despised. Everything about us signifies that we were put on this earth. We were put here. Now, others came here, but they weren't properly dressed. And that's why it's difficult for them, because they don't have the same protection that the Most High. The Most High doesn't do anything halfway. Everything he does is by purpose, and he does it strategically. He would not put people on the earth that could not stand the degrees of temperature. Why would he do that and see them constantly be burnt up and destroyed just by being out in the sun and break out in all of these sores and deep cancerous roots that will go down and kill them? The Most High didn't do that. He didn't do that. He protected his people for this planet by putting that deep, rich melanin in place as a constant protection against the harshness of the elements, the depth of the sun. And even though the old world was even more humid and hot, but it was a protection, we were protected. So we're still protected. And we're not just protected in our skin, we're protected in our life, because the Most High has favored us and we are his children. He loves us. If we obey him, he will protect us. He will fight for us. He does fight for us, actually, every day. Many, many thoughts and decisions and decrees that are against us to try to destroy us, they look for ways. They look with their science for ways to wipe us off the planet, but they cannot. They cannot, because the Most High Yah will not allow them to utterly take us off this planet. They need us. And just like this author said, the world is poorer. When they deny us, they are poorer. when they allow us, they are richer. When they deny us, they are poorer. When they allow us, they are richer. That's why you see all of these promoters and big companies promoting rap music. And, you know, this is music that came out of, you know, the ghetto, out of the hood, out of the, you know, places that they seem that they will stay away from. But they're living in splendor because they have tapped into the Hebrew music stream. And they are richer for it, literally. Because they are, when they connect with the Hebrew, even in exploitation, they're richer. So we are a unique people. We need to pull our heads up. We need to know who we are. We need to be excited about who we are, because the Most High Yah is definitely excited about us. He's going to do things for us that are going to blow the minds of the world, but we need to stay in place. Now we can begin. I wanted to do that introduction. I hope that was of value. I hope it was enriching to you for me to go into that direction before starting in, again in the Tehillim. And I hope you were encouraged by it, because I'm very encouraged by our people. I'm never discouraged. You know, I'm never discouraged. I don't think we have to mix and match. I think we are unique people. I think we have everything it takes. I think we are dynamic. I think we're beautiful. We are strong. We are creative. We're funny. We are talented. I mean, we are a very special people. And we should never feel second to any other man. We should be proud of who we are and how we look. Our lips are thin and they are full. We go from every extreme right now because of the mixture. Our hair is straight to kinky. And we are a unique people. And we're a powerful people. And we have a strong resolve within us. And we carry the Ruach. And that cannot be taken from us. They can kill our bodies, they cannot snatch the Ruach out of us. They can never take that Ruach that comes from the Most High Yah. He protects it, he keeps it. They can't have it. They can't take it from us. They can get a Ruach if they trust in the Most High Yah. He can give them a Ruach. He can put a Ruach in them. But they can't take it from us to destroy us. And that's what they're trying to do. With the sickness and the disease and the chemicals, they're trying to destroy the Ruach that the Most High gave us. They can't take it away, something that the Most High has given. All right, let me get into the Tehillim. Let me get back to the main idea. The main idea is the Tehillim that we were studying. Wanted to get back to some points. All right, I want to go back and just read it again and just go back. It's a pretty long Tehillim, but there are some points in here, and I wasn't able to fully make all my points last time because things were going on, and I probably was very brief and abrupt, so I want to spend a little bit more time. I have 40 minutes in my timeline, so it's pretty good. All right, so most of all, I want to bless this Tehillim. I want you to breathe over it and let it stir up the Ruach of all those that are listening, my brothers and sisters, and those that are listening via archive, and those that are going to sojourn with us or are sojourning with us. It is not my intention to make anyone feel that they do not belong to the Most High Yah, because in truth, the Most High Yah created the living being, created the soul, created. There were mixtures, we know this, but the Most High Yah is forgiving and loving and willing to accept anyone who will come in line. And so the Most High Yah will embrace all people, all that desire to know him and follow after his commandments, he will embrace. So with this, Most High, I just ask that you would bring forth life out of this Tehillim. Maya, Maya. Why have you abandoned me? Why so far from helping me? So far from my anguished cries? Maya, by day I call to you, but you don't answer. Likewise at night, but I get no relief. Nevertheless, you are Kadosh, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and escaped. They trusted in you and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me jeer at me. They sneer and shake their heads. He committed himself to Yahuwah. So let him rescue him. Let him set him free if he takes such delight in him. But you are the one who took me from the womb. You made me trust when I was on my mother's breasts. Since my birth, I have been thrown on you. You are my Yah from my mother's womb. Don't stay far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Wild bulls of Bashan close in on me. They open their mouths wide against me, like ravening, roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax. It melts inside me. My mouth is as dry as a fragrant of a pot. My tongue sticks to my palate. You lay me down in the dust of death. Dogs are all around me. A pack of villains closes in on me, like a lion at my hands and feet. I can count every one of my bones while they gaze at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves. For my clothing, they throw dice. But you, Yahuwah, don't stay far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Rescue me from the sword. My life from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth. You have answered me from the wild bull's horns. I will proclaim your name to my kinsmen. Right there in the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear Yahuwah, praise him. All descendants of Yaakov, glorify him. All descendants of Israel, stand in awe of him. For he has not despised nor abhorred the poverty of the poor. He did not hide his face from him, but listened to his cry. Because of you, I give praise in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the sight of those who fear him. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Yahuwah will praise him. Your hearts will enjoy life forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Yahuwah. All the clans of the nations will worship in your presence. For the kingdom belongs to Yahuwah, and he rules the nations. All who prosper on the earth will eat and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, including him who can't keep himself alive. A descendant will serve him. The next generation will be told of Yahuwah. They will come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he is the one who did it. How powerful is that, and how timely when I read about the bridge builder building that bridge for the next generation. Isn't that powerful? Most I tied that in with this Tehillim in a practical sense through that poem. But this is what the Tehillim is talking about. It's talking about the strength of the Most High for his people, on behalf of his people. It's also talking about the real condition that his people faced. It's also talking about the parallel between the Mashiach when he came, Yahushua, how he was treated, because many of these are statements about the Mashiach as well. Remember, Moshe Avinu told our forefathers, our ancestors, that the Most High Yah would raise up from among our brethren one who would be like him, who we understand now to be Yahushua, who was raised up in the likeness instead of Moshe Avinu. And Moshe said that we would hear from him. He would teach us. He would bring us into salvation bring us back into a condition, because he knew that our ancestors were going to be stiff-necked. They were going to turn away from the Most High, and it was going to fall on us, their descendants, in the latter days. But that Yahushua would be able, through his teachings and what he's done, to bring us back into right fellowship with the Most High. Yeah. Moshe was giving a prophetic, he was giving a prophetic statement to our ancestors about a time to come. They did not actually meet Yahushua. They never saw him, those that were still on the mountain. They never saw Yahushua because they were not the generation in which these things were going to be fulfilled. Now, likewise, in our generation, we have not technically seen Yahushua either. But he did come to a generation of our ancestry, and he did present himself in the world. And he fulfilled what the Most High had his prophets or seers say about him. He did fulfill those conditions. So some of this wording in here is dealing with it. For example, when he says, I can count every one of my bones, while they gaze at me and gloat, they divide my garment among themselves for my clothing, they throw dice. We know that they parted his garment, or they tried to part his garment, and they cast lots for it. This was the wording concerning Yahushua when he was hanged on a tree, when he was being killed. They tried to part his garment, and they were casting lots for it. His garment was made without seams. So it was just one whole piece of fabric. If anybody is a seamstress out there, or you know anything about sewing, it was taken from one cloth and made into the garment. So it wasn't pieced together. It was one whole. And they were casting lots for that, throwing dice for his clothing. Right? That's what it said about him. So we find that right here in the Tehillim 22 concerning our brother Yahushua. And then again, it talks about, here's another most powerful, it says, I want to go into where it says, I just read it. And it says he was declared to his people, to his brother. Oh, here it is. Back up here in Tehillim, I think it's around 22, 23, says, you have answered me from the wild bull's horns. Now, I find it very interesting. It talks about dogs and bulls surrounding the people, or surrounding King Dawid is talking, or Melech Dawid is talking, doing this particular Tehillim, which is all very prophetic, not necessarily just talking about Yahushua, but also about the descendants, who are us today, saying we're being surrounded by dogs and bulls. These are vicious, vile, natured people and nations that have surrounded us to come against us. And he's saying here, you have answered me from the wild bull's horns. I will proclaim your name to my kinsmen. This is what's happening right now in Israel, among the Hebrew Israelites. the name of the Most High Yah, the right name, the correct name, the correct pronunciation of the name, and there are variations. We're not, you know, the Most High is going to give us all of the real straightening. But even the world now, I was watching some other things, and now they're starting to call his name Yahuwah or Yahushua. They see it. It's been written, and now they're starting to declare it. Some are saying, you know, Yehovah or Yahweh, but they're knowing, they're beginning to know the name of the Most High Yah. It's in the earth, and it is being declared among his people. So it says, I will proclaim your name to my kinsmen. That's what's happened. How did we come to understand the name of the Yud? Here is the tetragrammaton, the Yud, He, Wav, He, the Hebrew letters, pronounced, because there are no vowels when you see it, pronounced Yahuwah, Yahuwah, which is the name of our Yah. And now they're starting to say it. They're starting to proclaim it. But it's first been proclaimed among us as kinspeople. So it says, I will proclaim your name to my kinsmen. Right there in assembly, I will praise you. You who fear Yahuwah, praise him. All descendants of Yaakov, that's us, all of us, descendants of Yaakov, taken through the transatlantic slave trade, those of us who left after the captivity of Babylon, 70 AD, all of us, descendants of Yaakov, says glorify him. That is our job. That is our responsibility. We can't get away from it. All descendants of Yisrael stand in awe of him. We can't get away from it because he says something here that tells about why we have this thing inside of us as Hebrew people. Whenever we hear the name of the Most High, I've heard it said by a European woman, all blacks know God. And she said it with disgust. Oh, you know, it's no miracle if a black person comes to God because they all know God. And I was wondering, why did she say that? And, you know, it wasn't fascinating to her if a person turned their life over to the Most High Yah. She was actually disgusted by it, in a sense. Well, it's spoken right here, going backwars into Tehillim 22, verse 9 or 10. It says, but you are the one who took me from the womb. The Most High Yah took us from our mother's womb. The Most High Yah made us to trust when we were on our mother's breast. Since our birth, we've been thrown on the Most High Yah. He is our Yah from our mother's womb. We can't help it. He imprinted on us in our mother's womb. He imprinted himself, his Ruach, onto us. That's why we are a spiritual people. We either get into good spirituality or negative spirituality, but we are a spiritual people because the Most High Yah imprinted us literally inside of our mother's womb. He placed a special seal upon every Hebrew child, male and female. The nations hate us. That's why they want us to abort our babies. They, in our mother's womb, were already sealed to the Most High Yah. We're already spoiled to his name. His name is imprinted on us. It is our job as we grow and go through this life to discover him and to follow him and to obey him. But we can't get away from it. The nations don't have this. They haven't been imprinted this way. But the Hebrew has. The nations, you know, I get around people who are in the other nations sometimes, and, you know, I'll go to a meeting, they'll have a prayer, and I'll go, and they cannot tap into the Ruach like we can. Whenever I show up and I start to pray, the power of the Ruach falls. They can't do it. I've sat through too many sessions. I have too many friends who want to enter into prayer. They cannot access the Ruach. It's only in the Hebrew person. They just can't do it. And it's true. I've seen it. And, you know, if they do all the praying, you come back, you leave very dry. You leave very, very dry. They can't do it. And they get tired. You know, they can't go the distance. In our you know, old church system, we do all night prayer. I mean, and pray all night. They can't do it. And it's not, you know, and that's just the difference, because the Most High is imprinted upon the Hebrew soul from the womb. So before we even break forth into this realm of the earth, within the secret place where He's knitting us together, He's also putting His signature. You know, if you make clothing or if you make anything, the manufacturer always puts his signature on the product before he releases it into the market. That is what the Most High Yah has done for his people. He always puts his signature upon us before he releases us into this marketplace of the world. We are already stamped. So we can't get away from it. And that's what this Tehillim is telling us. We have to gain that wisdom. We have to know who we are. We can do all the stuff we want. We can deny him. We can pretend that we have a higher understanding. And we can do all that foolishness, but it always boils back down to we need the Most High Yah. We need him. We need to praise him. We need to love him. We need to obey him. We need to follow after him. We need to acknowledge him. We cannot make it in this world successfully because we're tied to him in a way that other people are not. And we can't survive unless we are in really strongly in his presence. I mean, we can get by in life, but we can't really live until we accept and follow that calling that's been placed upon us. So this is why the psalmist here, Melech David, is saying it like this: I was thrown on you. Since my birth, I've been thrown on you. And the greatest problem with the Hebrew has been, still is, but will not always be, Baruch Yahuwah, praise be to Yahuwah, will not always be, and I have to say it like that, because the problem of our ancestors and today is that we want to run away from the Most High Yah and be like the nations. That has been the problem. That is the problem right now. Even in our captivity, in the poorest of our condition, our lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, we still don't want to identify with the Most High Yah. We want to pattern ourselves after the nations. And we think that makes us acceptable. And when we get very frustrated, because it does not. Because you can't get away from the Most High Yah. I don't care what you do. You can't get away from him. So it's part of who you are. It's part of your DNA. You know, my sister and I, we say it's in the DNA. It's in the DNA. The Most High Yah has put his signature in our DNA. And you can't go back. You can't have a scientist go in there and rearrange your DNA to the point that you become another person. That's who you are. It's the fiber of your being. You can't change your hair texture permanently by manipulating your DNA. You can't change your eye color permanently. You can't do these things. Now, you can put on masks. You can put a relaxer or a straightener in your hair, but that's temporary. You can wear colored contacts, but you got to take them out. The reality is that who we are, the Most High Yah made us who we are. We can't change it. You know, you can put bleaching cream and lighten your dermis a couple shades, but it doesn't. The melanin, the level of melanin that the Most High Yah has put in you, is going to produce at that level until you die. So you might be able to change a little bit topical, but you're not changing who you are in your essence. Nor should you want to do that. But that has been the problem of the Hebrew mindset always, is to run away from the greatest thing on earth. Now we got a whole nother nation claiming to be us. Oh, we're running away from who we are, and they are conniving to be who they are not. They are desirous of being us. Most models put collagen in their lips to have fuller lips, whereas as Hebrew people, we try to deny who we are. We say, oh, we're this and we're mixed with that. We don't want anything to do with the greatest thing on the earth, who we are and who our Yah is. And all the nations are clamoring to get it, and we don't have a clue. That's why the Most High Yah said, it is for the lack of knowledge that my people are destroyed. We're destroyed because we lack knowledge, for the most part, of the things that we should be knowledgeable about. We lack the knowledge, and we're running after Edom. We're running after the world. We're running after the nations because we think they have it, and they don't even have the Ruach. They don't even have the connection to the Most High Yah. They gain their wealth through murder, manipulation, deceit, and thievery, and we want to be them. We have to wake up as the Hebrew people. We have to get back to the scripture. We have to get back to the Tehillim. We have to get back to the Tanakh and the Torah. We have to understand it, the essence of what it really is. So the Tehillim is very clear here. It's really showing us, you know, what's going on. Trouble is always near us. Trouble is always near us because we have haters and we have enemies. And we have envious people. People that are envious want to be us. Haters hate us. They hate us. The enemies hate our Yah and want to hurt us because we belong to the Most High. But we have the envious that want to be us. They do anything to be us. They get us out of the way. But see, if somebody tried to kill my daughter or my son and then put and bring themselves up in my face and try to be my child, you're going to get my wrath. I'm going to take revenge. You can't hurt my children, my grandchildren, and then put yourself in the stead and expect me to love you and to receive you. Oh, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way with the Most High. Now, my kids can have people among them that respect them and respect me, and they come in right, and they come in humble. I will receive you. Sure, I'll adopt you. Heck, I'll bring you into my family. You got to come in through the straight gate, though. You got to come in through the right door. You can't just come in through a window, murder up my house, and then expect me to love you and make you inherit, you know, make you become my heir. It doesn't work that way. And that's what they have done to us as the Hebrew people. And this is why the Most High Yah is upset. This is why we're seeing the storms and the calamities and the tornadoes and all this stuff. Now, I wanted to broadcast on last week concerning the elections. I didn't. I mentioned it in my Monday, but I didn't get on Wednesday. And, you, of course, we've had both, you know, both parties have done their thing in their convention. And I am for neither. I am for neither one of the two parties that presented or that were, you know, presented to us on the world stage through the media. I am for neither. Now, I wanted to make a comment because I am for neither one. I'm not for the one or the other. But I wanted to point out, I hope the Hebrew people caught the party. We know that the one party, if you looked in the audience, you saw very few Hebrews. And I hope you're not putting your vote there because you were not represented. There was no one there. They do not care about you. Now, if you're that blind to say you're going to vote for that party because you share their values, and clearly their values are against you, they all but said racial stuff. They had to hold themselves. How did they get around calling us bywords and despising us publicly? They went back to their immigrants, and that's what I wanted to comment on. They went back and said, we are immigrants. Now, if you're an immigrant, two generations, how the heck then can you claim to be a proud American? Two generations. All they talked about was their grandfather's immigration and struggle, as if to say that qualifies them to understand the struggle of the Hebrew, the struggle of the Native American, the struggle of the Hispanic, because all of California originally belonged to Mexico. It belonged to the Mexican people. And other states, Texas and other states. So these were stolen from them, and these are the people they're trying to deport, get rid of, and keep out of the United States. So they're trying to say that their immigration, the fact that their parents, their grandparents immigrated, gives them the right to be strong Americans. But nobody tried to get their grandparents out of the country. Now, the other camp is all inclusive. Hey, we love everybody. And do you see how they continue to mention the homosexual? But they didn't do it in the way, the outward way. They said the right to choose who you love. And even Mrs. Michelle Obama said, the proud people, referring back to gay pride. The Rainbow Coalition, they flashed on Reverend Jesse Jackson, who started that Rainbow Coalition. And they kept, and every speaker mentioned it, except for Bill Clinton. He never mentioned it. And as a matter of fact, none of the Edomites ever mentioned in their speeches the right to love who you want. None of them. I listened carefully. All of the Hebrews got up and said that statement. That was written for them, and they all proclaimed it so well. We support homosexuality is what they just said. And they try to make it a stand that this is the belief of all Hebrew people who are connected to the Most High Yah, who hold the standards of the Most High Yah. We don't all support that lifestyle, but that is the message they were sending. They wanted to send to the Hebrew people, to proclaim to their brethren that this is what we should be about because of our oppression. Our oppression is because of our disobedience for these very same things to the Most High. So I hope that everyone caught that in those speeches. Because that is what they were saying. If you didn't catch it, that is what they were saying. And the other side almost barely spoke of racial stuff, but they channeled it through immigration of their ancestors being from Europe and having the right coming for a better life, but they are denying that for all other people coming in to make a better life. Do you see the oxymoron? Do you see the problem? Do you understand? There's a problem. Both of these parties are the same. They're not different. They are the same. They have different names, but they are the same. Now, the other side, the current administration, also talked about immigration. None of these parties mentioned slavery. None of these parties mentioned how the Hebrew has come to these shores. All of them talked about how proud they were of their grandfathers coming here for opportunity. None of them addressed the issue of the Hebrew. So here we are in both parties looking stupid and cheering, and we're not even mentioned one time. We're still the hidden ones. They haven't even focused on our condition, situation, or need. They're getting us to co-sign for wickedness, and that's the problem that we had before. That's the problem that our ancestors had before, co-signing for wickedness and not standing for righteousness. And that's the problem we had before. That's what got us into this situation where we are now all over the planet, all over the globe, and we are literally in every nation. If you travel, it will blow your mind. Don't believe the hype when they show you these ads of, oh, come over here to this country, and they show you the European on the beach. Go to that country, and you're going to see the Hebrews working in still an impoverished condition. Follow them home, and they're living in ghettos all over the world. Every nation is full of Hebrew people, every nation on the planet, even in the islands, in China, Japan, Russia, all over the world have we been scattered. we are not these people. We don't need to co-sign for their stuff. And we are co-signing for it, and we wonder why we're still oppressed. We're wondering why we're sick. We're wondering why our children, our young kids, are being killed and plucked off, like, you know, when you go to the fair and you see the ducky, the little rubber ducky or yellow ducky going on, and you can take that pop gun and shoot them down. That's what's happening because we don't get it. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand what the Most High Yah has called us to. He's called us to righteousness. Come out of this Babylon. We need to come out of the Babylon, the thinking, the mindset of this Babylon. We're so happy to be accepted by them, and we are not trying to be accepted by the Most High. That's the problem we've always had. Nations accept me, and I'm so happy. Most High Yah has given me a greater calling. The nations would kill me for, and we're not happy about the calling. And now we have another nation just bold and brazen, lying, saying that they're the people in our land. And I need to qualify a statement earlier when I was reading in the poem, when it said, let me see if I can go back to it real quick. We're talking about, it says, an old man going alone highway came at an evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Now, here's Edom, and I want to share something with you, and I'm going to. Here is the statement, and this is how I know for sure who we are as a people and who are not the people. This little second stanza, this old man said a pilgrim near. You are wasting your strength building here. Your journey will end at the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why? The question, why? Why build this bridge at evening tide? Okay, stopping there, I wanted to go back to a point I made earlier when I said, and I'll qualify this at the beginning of this teaching. You know, I take Biblical Hebrew online, and I take it with Israeli teachers and other, you know, teachers. Well, one of the great questions in the Jewish community is questioning the validity of Scripture and the truthfulness of Scripture. So we were talking about the passage on Noah, and, you know, the teacher, this particular teacher is a new teacher for our class, and it's going to be our permanent teacher, is a rabbi. But he's a rabbi here in the United States. But he speaks Hebrew fluently. Well, and I've heard this before when I was traveling closer in that community. They always question the Most High. They don't have the fear of the Most High like we have as Hebrew people. They're very bold. They pick apart Scripture and they disqualify it, and they come and they always leave it open ended with a question or with three or four different opinions having, you know, coming together as an agreement. Now the reason why I'm saying this, they don't know the Most High Yah. That's very obvious and very evident. They have a lot of information, and they have a lot of secrets. They have a lot of secrets about the universe and about how things work and the relationship between this and that. But truly, 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 they do not know the Most High Yah. I have sat in many, many, many places, many shuls and around them, and I know they don't know the Most High. And that always puzzled me because before I had my mind right and my understanding correct, of course, they said they're the chosen. I thought they were talking about being chosen of the Most High Yah being the biblical people, but they're not. They are not. And they do not know the Most High. As a matter of fact, I had one person tell me, I began to tell him the biblical story of just how it's written in Genesis or Bereshit about Adam and Eve and go a little bit deeper. And you know, he told me, I do not know of this creation myth that you are talking about. He didn't know. He didn't understand. And he called it a myth. And I said, that's amazing to me. Amazing to me. So if you listen carefully, they will tell you who they serve, and they do not serve the Most High. So this is why we as a Hebrew people need to know who we are, and we need to hold on, and we need to follow after the Most High, because we are the people. The whole world will not be repaired until we are repaired. And they know it. We change everything. We are game changers. We change everything when we come aboard. And so it was acknowledged in this book, you know, the world is poor because there's information about Hebrews that they're hiding from people and hiding from the world that will change the condition of this world, make this world a better place, make this world, you know, acceptable, change, like he said, this, like the author said in his book, he came by natural hatred of generations of ignorance and foolishness and misunderstanding to hate the Hebrew person. And yet he needed the Hebrew person to find the creator of the universe. He needed that Hebrew man in order to find the one who created all things. That's amazing. That is amazing. So we have it in our Tehillim. We have wisdom in our Tehillim. We have wisdom and understanding in the Torah. And the Most High wants us to dig into it a little deeper so we can rightly apply it. So we, when the psalmist says, "But you, Yahuwah, don't stay far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Rescue me from the sword." The Most High Yah is not really far away from us. He's very near. But what the Most High Yah wants us to do is to really call upon his name and to search him out. Because if you think about it, all our lives he's searching out. He's trying to get us to come into that place of acknowledging him. And he's saying, you know what, I'm doing all this work. I want you to search me out now. I want you to come and find me. So I just want to share that, you know, the Most High is with his people, loving us tremendously. Let us continue to avail ourselves in knowledge and understanding, listening to our teachers, learning, doing what's necessary for us to become a better people of the Most High. I'm going to leave you with a song. I'm going to say shalom. Looking forward to seeing you Wednesday. Make it a great day. Against thee, thy
Thy words became for me a joy.